I wish that I could see the list that you have made as a result of thinking about the church. Because when I think about the Church of Jesus Christ, I think of something that is really the hope of the world. I see people on an adventure together, like we are in this session, becoming a model for a new kind of family, a new kind of relatedness, a place where people can come and discover God's dream for them. And that's what we've done in this group together. We have come, we've begun to know one another. We've begun to believe that God loves us and is for us and is working in our lives and calls us into an adventure. But you see, he has called us into a life together so that each week we affirm the fact that we are not alone, that we are known and we are cared for, and we have people who are actually working and praying to bring about everything that God meant for each of us to be. And my dream for the church is that this is the one place where you can become the unique, unrepeatable miracle that you were meant to be by God. That's part of the good news. Every other organization that you and I belong to, be it conservative or liberal, secular or sacred, it doesn't matter what it is, rebels or staunch reactionaries, tend to make us conform to an image of what the people in that particular group or movement are. But here we find a group of people who presume to be the Church of Christ, who are really saying, I want you to become not like me, but I want to pray for you and listen to you and help you that you might become everything God meant you to be, which is unlike me. And I need you to kind of help me to become what I'm meant to be. And to me, this is the whole wonder of the church, that we are a people working at this. And I can see Jesus saying after he raised Lazarus from the dead, and here was a man dead 3 days who came out of the grave, but he was all bound up. He was dead, but now alive. And he could not move or dance or sing or speak. But Jesus said to the people around him, you unbind him and let him go. And you see, you and I are a fellowship of people who are unbinding one another. And unless you take me seriously and unbind me, I may be alive, though I was dead once, but I'll be bound and inhibited by my defense mechanisms and my fears and my prejudices and all my limited thinking. But if a group of you will take me seriously, you can begin to unwrap me, and I can begin to find the marvelous thing that God intended for me to be. I think, Keith, this is the exciting thing about our adventure, that the church is a place that believes that God has a dream for each person to become something very, very special and unlike anyone else. So we are a fellowship of people. As we grow more closely in love, we become more unlike one another. And this is the mark that God is here. And here in the church, we find a place where we affirm that there is one among us who is Lord, who can raise us from the dead. But then we become a fellowship of people who are unbinding one another. And I think that's exciting.
Boy, it really is, Bruce. And you know, one of the things that, as you were talking, it occurred to me that this style of life we're trying to learn to live out together has a great economy about it. In other words, we're giving away the very thing we're finding. We're not having to learn a whole bunch of knowledge before we can begin, but as each week we begin to learn one more thing about living or about each other, then we can give that very thing. For instance, as we are freed in one area, as I am freed to affirm my wife, then I can go and do that, and by that very example, she's free to affirm the children. And so we begin to give this thing away that we're finding. But if we're entering into this kind of a church or this kind of a relationship where it's all right to confess that you're imperfect because we can forgive each other and forgive in the name of Christ and personally, then how do you begin to take a new look at the church? Without being hypercritical or without, in other words, how do you begin to find out what behaviors in a group of people like our group, which behaviors make people feel accepted by a group? Now, this next exercise that we've set up, one of our problems is that we have stereotypes about what the church ought to be that are some of the strongest stereotypes in our lives. So when we look at these organizations, we assume they've got to be there because they've always been there. So let's take a few minutes to look back in our own lives and see groups that made us feel loved and find out what they did. Your leader has the information about this, and think back now in your own lives and find out what kinds of groups made you feel loved. Having looked at some of these behaviors and these experiences that might make our church more loving, it seems to me really important to say that we ought to use these loving behaviors in the changing process. In other words, to go to the church now out of this kind of a small group and say, you are wrong, we now have a new deal, would be a tremendous put down. And the thing it would seem to me that might be most helpful, it has been in my life, if I can begin to love the people in a way they can understand through the behaviors we've learned in this group, then they may ask us what we can do or what a reason for the hope that's in us. So I'd hope that the things that we're learning in these sessions, you'd be very careful about trying to push people with them. And this is why I'm saying this, because at first, when I began on this experiment, I went back to the church and I said, hey, you know, there's no place for the, I found something you haven't found. And man, I just drove people away in bunches. And the minister was resentful, and I thought he was after me. And later he told me he was. But he was right, because the thing is that I was trying to change him. And it seems to me that our job is not to change people, and none of these behaviors which have been effective that I recall were ever somebody trying to change me. So that if we can go and love the people, and then out of our loving them and bringing them into this kind of a fellowship of love, then to see what God speaks through all of us, because unless they have a part in the change, they will not participate. So rather than trying to go and change anybody out of this, it seems to me the new church of relational kinds of Christianity would be one in which we went to love each other, and then when we got into a relationship, together decide where we must move and the kinds of organizational things, rather than attacking the organization. It's like the car manufacturers don't go out and machine gun all the old cars. They just produce a better one, and people turn them in.
Keith, I have a dream, and I want to share it with our group here. And my dream is that as change comes, one of the things that will spell the new church that I think is emerging from just groups like this is a church with a new image in the world. Now, if you would ask the average non-churchgoer what he thinks of your church, he might say, well, they're nice people, they're irrelevant, they sing a lot, or they don't sing, or they live two different kinds of lives, or they argue theology, or they hold revival services, you know. But in the first century, if you asked all the non-Christian Jews in Jerusalem, of which there were about 99%, what do you think of the Christians? They didn't know about their theology, or their polity, or their government, but they brought their sick out that they might have contact with the early believers. Because whatever else they knew about them, they knew that here was a group of people who, for some strange reason, could help people who were in trouble, mentally, spiritually, psychologically, even physically. And I see in the thing we're doing now, God trying to reinstitute his witness in the world through his people, that as we become real with one another and believe in the whole lay ministry, that every layman is called to be a healer and a sharer of this life, that people can come into our midst long before they hear any kind of a proclamation about Jesus as Lord, but they can come among us and find that people who are in trouble can get help. And I've heard someone like Paul Tournier say that 9 out of 10 people seeing a psychiatrist now would be better helped by simply a person who loved them and cared for them, prayed for them, and believed in them. So here is a mandate from even the psychological world saying if the church could discover its heritage, it could become a place where lay people could be involved in offering a ministry of love and caring and healing to all people. So in the thing we've been doing together in this session, I see the seeds for a new church, which means a new image, as a place where people can come and find help and hope. And that excites me tremendously. And now, as we pray together, why don't you and I pray together about the most exciting thing we see coming for the church? That means for you and me together as believers, and claim it and thank God for it, and then begin to move out and live those prayers.